Elected Iranian President Hassan Rouhani met and conferred with the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. President-elect Rouhani urges West to respect Islamic Republic's rights. Millions of Iranians celebrate another political epic, this time presidential elections. Scores of foreign officials and governments congratulate Rouhani's victory in June 14th presidential elections. And massive voter turnout in June 14 elections improves Iran's regional and international standing. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of IRINN English News with me, Nima Shitsas. The elected Iranian President Hassan Rouhani met and conferred with the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on Sunday afternoon. During the meeting, which came a day after the official announcement of Iran's 11th presidential elections results, the leader wished success for the newly Iranian elected president, recommending the essential guidelines. Marked by high voter turnout, Rouhani emerged victorious in Iran's 11th presidential elections by winning 18,613,329 out of a total of 36,704,156 ballots counted. The Interior Ministry put voter turnout at 72.7%. Rouhani currently represents the leader of the Islamic Revolution in the Supreme National Security Council and is a member of the Expediency Council and the Assembly of Experts. He is also the president of the Expediency Council's Center for Strategic Research. Iranian President-elect Hassan Rouhani has urged the West to talk fairly to the Iranian nation and respect the Islamic Republic's rights in order to receive an appropriate response. Rouhani made the remark in his first televised message after victory in the June 14 presidential elections, which saw a massive popular turnout. Rouhani also thanked the Iranian people for their huge turnout in the elections. He stressed the importance of abiding by the Constitution as the only way to develop Iran and enhance the stability of the country. Following the 72% massive popular turnout of Iranians in the country's 11th presidential elections on Friday, millions of people, especially the youths, poured into the streets across the country, celebrating another political epic by the nation. The footage you're watching is just a glance of the celebrations that happened on Saturday night. The heads of the legislative and judicial branches of Iran's government have congratulated President-elect Hassan Rouhani on his victory in the country's 11th presidential elections. In a message issued on Sunday, Iran's parliament speaker said, "The greatness and magnificence of the June 14 elections would be a valuable support for improving the country's situation, particularly for resolving problems such as unemployment and high prices." Ali Larijani said Majlis would cooperate with the president-elect and his future cabinet to improve the affairs of the country. Meantime, Judiciary Chief Ayatollah Sadegham Ali Larijani also congratulated leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the Iranian nation and the president-elect on the massive turnout in Iran's 11th presidential elections. Elsewhere, head of Iran's Supreme Board of Arbitration, Ayatollah Mahmoud Hashemi Shahroudi, and chairman of the Iranian Assembly of Experts, Ayatollah Mohammad Reza Mahdavi Kani, also congratulated Rouhani on his victory in presidential elections. In the meantime, some foreign officials in separate messages congratulated Rouhani over his victory in presidential elections in Iran. The Secretary General of the Lebanese Resistance Movement of Hezbollah congratulated Hassan Rouhani over his victory in Iran's 11th presidential elections. In a message, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah congratulated Rouhani for winning the trust of the Iranian nation in a political epic. Syrian president also congratulated Rouhani on winning Iran's presidential elections, stressing his country's determination to continue cooperation with Iran. Bashar al-Assad, in his letter of congratulation, stressed Syria's determination to enhance relations with Tehran and to further develop cooperation between the two nations in all fields. Russian president also congratulated Rouhani on his victory in presidential vote, announcing readiness to expand bilateral relations with Tehran. Vladimir Putin expressed confidence that Rouhani's work will promote the flourishing of Russia's friend Iran and further strengthen Russia-Iran relations. Meanwhile, the UN Secretary General also extended his congratulations, saying he is determined to engage with the Iranian authorities and Rouhani on issues of importance to the international community and welfare of the Iranian nation. The United Arab Emirates President Sheikh Khalifa bin Zayed Al Nahyan also sent a congratulatory message to Rouhani, felicitating him on winning the presidential elections. Leaders of Qatar, Kuwait, and Bahrain also sent similar letters to Iran's newly elected president. Foreign countries, including the United States, Britain, EU, Afghanistan, France, and Sweden, have also responded to the victory of Hassan Rouhani in Iran's presidential ballot held on Friday, June 14. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says the massive voter turnout in the June 14 elections will improve Iran's regional and international standing. Abbas Araghchi congratulated President-elect Hassan Rouhani on his landmark victory in the June 14 elections, which was marked by high voter turnout. The Iranian official said this popular support and broad-based democracy would improve Iran's standing on regional and international levels and would be a very strong source of energy for the Islamic Republic's foreign policy. He further stated that congratulatory messages by officials from different countries to the president-elect show Tehran's extensive relations with other countries and once again underlines the Islamic Republic's legitimacy in the region and across the world. Elsewhere, Araghchi said Russia has been pushing for the Islamic Republic participation in the upcoming Geneva II talks on Syria, despite opposition from some countries. Araghchi said there have been many disputes over Iran's presence in this conference, but it is for certain that from the start, Tehran is considered a political solution as the only solution to the Syrian crisis. Araghchi further hailed the Syrian army's recent military gains in its fight against the foreign-backed Takfiri militants, particularly in the strategic cities of Al-Qusair and Aleppo. Thousands of people protested in Spain's capital, Madrid, against austerity policies and high unemployment record, urging Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy to focus on creating jobs to help pull the country out of recession. Our correspondent has a story.
This demonstration in Madrid was the end of a week of demonstrations in different cities of Spain and Europe, demanding for a more social and democratic European Union, and to insist that the end of the crisis can be through austerity measures. The austerity policy that the EU is ruling for all Europe, especially for the countries of the south like Spain, Greece or Portugal, is causing more poverty, unemployment and suffer to the needy. That was the reason for many people to take the streets of Madrid city center. According to the main Spanish parties, the current crisis should be solved with Europe, that is pointing the necessary measures to be taken by the government. But many people don't believe that Europe's solutions are going to solve anything. There were a lot of people protesting with their families. Like Fernanda, many of them were worried that Spain will have a dark future if it continues the path that is following. This demonstration took place 10 days before the next European Council, that will take place in Brussels at the end of June. People wanted to raise their voice to change the politics decisions. Thousands of Spaniards have demonstrated today in Madrid to protest against the austerity policy of the government. According to them, this policy, dictated by the EU, is deepening the Spanish crisis and won't solve the current situation. From Madrid, Tamim Eldelati,
by Shabak Ehabar.
In Britain, anti-austerity campaigners have held a protest at London's financial centre. The move, which comes ahead of the upcoming G8 summit, called on the world to pay attention to the plight of ordinary people and the growing poor-rich gap. According to the activists, only in Britain, 1 in 8 people go hungry every day.
We're here because we know that the G8 are talking about some of the measures that are going to tackle poverty and hunger. They're talking about tax dodging right now, and we're pushing them to make sure they really do deliver on a deal for poor countries. It's hanging in the balance right now, but they can work round the clock in the next 2 days and get it done.
Meanwhile, in another protest against the G8 summit in Belfast, North Ireland, Amnesty International activists urged the US President Barack Obama to close the Guantanamo Bay prison. The protest comes exactly outside the Belfast Waterfront Hall, where US President is due to make a speech on Monday.
President Obama is due in Belfast to support the peace process here, to come to Northern Ireland to talk about peace, to talk about justice, and we welcome that support. But his credibility in speaking out on issues of global stability, peace and security are fundamentally undermined by the fact that Guantanamo Bay, 4 years after he came into office, 4 years after he promised to close it, is still open, is still a prison camp for people who have committed no crime, who have faced no charges, who have faced no trials, who faced no prospect of being reunited with their families.
At least 6 civilians have been killed and 4 others wounded by an improvised explosive device in Churi district of the central southern Orazgan province in Afghanistan. The casualties come after their vehicle was hit by a roadside bomb. Roadside bombs, an improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, are by far the most lethal weapon that Taliban militants use against Afghan forces, foreign troops, and civilians. At least 32 people have been killed and many more injured in a wave of violence, including car bomb attacks and a shooting incident in several southern and central cities and towns of Iraq. The car bomb attacks were carried out in the cities of Kut, southern and central cities and towns of Iraq. The car bomb attacks were carried out in the cities of Kut, Hilla, Azizia, Mahmoudiya, Nasiriyah, Tuz Kharmatu, Najaf, and Basra. More than 50 people were wounded in the attacks, where terrorists exploded 7 vehicles loaded with explosives. Also on Sunday, at least 6 policemen guarding a pipeline exporting crude oil from the country's northern city of Kirkuk were killed by gunmen. 5 others were also injured in the incident. And finally, Turkish police have used brutal force against anti-government protesters in Istanbul as the supporters of Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan gathered in the city. Turkish riot police once again fired smoke canisters and used pepper spray and water cannons to disperse the protesters trying to converge in Istanbul's Taksim Square. This comes while the protesters are preparing for more demonstrations, as the supporters of Turkish Prime Minister are gathering in Istanbul. Recep Tayyip Erdogan once again addressed his supporters a day after a similar rally was held in the Turkish capital, Ankara. The Turkish premier said it was his duty to order riot police to evict protesters staying at Istanbul's Gezi Park. On Saturday night, Turkish police attacked anti-government protesters at Taksim Square, shortly after Erdogan ordered the demonstrators to evacuate the area. A number of protesters were also arrested in the crackdown. The unrest in Turkey erupted after police broke up a sit-in staged at Taksim Square on May 31st to protest against a government plan for the redevelopment of Gezi Park. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRN and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.